Can you turn me down just a little bit?
I'm whispering. Okay. Before we begin, let's open up with a word of prayer. Almighty God, you are sovereign over all things. Lord, your goodness permeates all of your works. I love you, Father. Thank you that you have given us this opportunity to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. So I pray that it would be done. I pray that you would be glorified by everything that we do. For the sake of your holy name, Lord. Thank you so much. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I want to give a testimony of the faithfulness of God in my and my family's life. I'm doing this now because I know of many struggles, even within our own fellowship. And I hope that in some small way this will be beneficial to you. But a while back, I heard a sermon that entirely changed my thinking on trusting the Lord. And in this sermon, the preacher related the autobiography of George Mueller. And since then, Mueller's become somewhat of a hero of mine. And for those of you who don't know, Mueller began his ministry as a preacher, and soon thereafter, he opened multiple orphanages and cared for thousands and thousands of orphans. And to say that these orphanages required substantial funds would be an understatement. But they were funded entirely by gifts from believers and unbelievers alike. But there's a catch. Mueller never in any way asked for money or supplies, and he never made his needs known to anyone but the Lord in prayer. Yet time after time and page after page in his autobiography, the needs were met, many times miraculously, through the sovereignty of God over the hearts of men and the tender mercy that he has on his servants. And so today I want to focus on the faithfulness of God. But I want you to understand that the amount of trust we place in the Lord, or conversely, the lack of trust, both have ramifications in our day-to-day lives. Most people have the idea that that faith is only necessary for salvation, and then after that, we walk by sight. You know, we may not admit that, but that's typically how we live our lives. That's the easiest way. We want what we can see. And that's the primary problem of Israel in the Old Testament. They didn't take God at his word. So they fashioned idols out of wood and stone and metal that they could see before them. And they purged God from their minds for all intents and purposes. And often I've looked at the accounts of the Israelites and their idol worship and thought, what is wrong with you? I mean, have you lost your sanity? At least until God saved me, and then I realized that I'm exactly the same way. It's so easy for me to worship a thing, and it's so easy to deny a command of God in order to have something that I desire. And I'll give you an example. I like motorcycles. I really like them. I probably always will. And about 3 years ago, I decided that my income was great enough and constant enough to justify taking out a loan to purchase one, and it was. The problem is the command which says, owe no one anything except to love one another. And so I went into debt to have something that I desperately desired. In other words, I desired the thing more than the word of God, and therefore it was an idol, and I was just as guilty as Israel of idol worship. It would later become an issue, actually, when following God's direction and leading us to the mission. But faith is all about believing God and taking him at his word and trusting that obeying a command will always result in good. It's so easy to say God is omnipotent, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to say that God works all things to the good of those who love him. But do you rely on that? Do you make your decisions based entirely on the word of God, even if it goes against what you think you know? I probably shouldn't say this. You know, you're in trouble when you start out with that. But Mr. Miyagi told me back in 1986 that never put passion before principle. You can ask Rachel, I quote that all the time. Never put passion before principle. In other words, don't let your fears or your desires or your flesh or anything else interfere with your love and obedience to the word. The Bible says that he who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And I can tell you by personal experience that I have never, ever been put to shame by trusting the word of God. I've never obeyed God and regretted it later, ever. In fact, I've found that the only thing that gives me peace and joy is obeying the Lord. And so I want to tell you of my family's personal experience. But before I begin, please, if you hear nothing else in this whole testimony, hear this. This is not a testimony to my faith. This is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Now, I want that to be crystal clear. It is of no profit for a man to boast in himself, but only that which glorifies God. And my faith is utterly and pathetically feeble and insignificant. And the Lord constantly reminds me of that fact every day. Let me also say as a word to the wise that prayer is powerful. If you pray and ask God to conform you into the image of his son, he'll do it. He may not do it in a way that you would have picked or preferred, but it will happen, and it will be done through perfect God-ordained means. Now, let me give you some background before I start. Some of you know this, some of you don't. But I just want everybody to be on the same page. 2 years ago, almost to the day, it was right around the end of June, beginning of July, I was in prayer about what the Lord's will was for our lives, at least at that time. And our apartment lease was coming up at the end of August, so there's 60 days there. And we were desiring to move back home since we had just had Annabelle. And most apartments require a 60-day notice. So I prayed and asked God to direct our steps in the way that he would have us go. And so I turned in my 60-day notice and just prayed. It wasn't 2 weeks later that Dave Stevenson came to me with the prospect of training at the Master's Mission. And my immediate reaction was, yeah, right. We're in a crisis. We don't have a place to live. We certainly don't have enough money to fund us paying for school and living without a job, and we can't work because it's all day, every day at school. But God almost immediately shut down those two objections. First, our lease ended at the end of August. So when do you think school started? The 1st of September. I mean, we literally left from the apartment complex and went to the school and moved in. As for the money objection, I called Veterans Affairs, and the lady I spoke with said that I still had 13 months left on my GI Bill, and it would pay out at $1,321 a month. And I didn't know if that would be enough, but it certainly gave me some assurance that this was the Lord's will for us. And so, thanking the Lord the whole way, we began training at the mission, and everything worked out so perfectly in so many different ways to get us there. Now, some, if not most of you, already knew that. But most of you probably don't know the rest of what I'm about to tell you. So I want to read you a few pages from my journal that happened on the day when I got the call. This is from October 7th of 2009. God has placed a massive obstacle in our path. He has sovereignly swept out our financial legs from under us. As I wrote earlier, one of the proponents of attending school here was the fact that I still had 13 months of GI Bill benefits, which would cover the vast majority of our financial needs and obligations. Now, I don't want to go into detail since I don't understand it myself. The law has changed somehow concerning the GI Bill. The lady apparently didn't look close enough at my file because another lady called and said that my benefits were terminated as of September of 2003. This is so obviously God forcing us to depend on Him for absolutely everything. Not the government, not my wage that I worked for and deserve, but dependence on God's grace alone. And this is from later that afternoon. The Lord is sovereign indeed. He will not allow us to be put to shame, but He will certainly not allow us to be boosted in pride. We are His servants, as Luke 17, verses 7 through 10 says, unworthy. We have only done what was our duty, and that by God's grace. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. It's from Habakkuk 3. We are eternally grateful to God for not giving us earthly wealth and security, for we would have loved this life too much, and as such would have been almost worthless for the kingdom. But whoever loves his life loses it. But we have despised our lives by the grace of God. They are poured out as an offering to the Lord, that He might receive some infinitesimal measure of glory from them. For our lives are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. We have faith in the God of the universe that what He has declared about Himself is true, that God indeed causes all things to work for the good of those who love Him, that He is abounding in loving kindness, and that whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Dave has encouraged me and reminded me that God brought us here for a purpose, and this whole situation puts Him in the position to get more glory for Himself and to show us that we can trust Him fully. October 8th, the next day. Today, Jack Morrison came to us and said that someone wanted to donate to the mission. We had met them a few days before at church. They were visiting the mission from up north. Their names were Greg and Kim. As it turns out, Betty Lou told them that there was a family that just lost the majority of their funding and that their names were Kevin and Rachel Means. They said they would absolutely like to donate to us. $1,000. This happening the day after our financial breakdown is a tremendous encouragement from the Lord. Taxes will be taken out, but we estimate the remainder to be upward of $800. We also received a check for $150 from our apartment complex, which is our refund for a deposit. And I also received $20 from Redbubble for photos I had sold. The Lord is good. Unfortunately, I was not as diligent as Mueller in keeping my journal, but I'm here to tell you that the Lord faithfully provided for us day in and day out throughout the whole year, oftentimes miraculously. Not only did He provide money, but He stretched the amount of money that we received to do things we never thought possible with such a meager sum. We paid for tuition, books, gas, propane, food, insurance, debt, continuous repairs on our Jeep, drafting supplies, clothing, and many other things. But we refused to go into debt with the school because it was our belief that if the Lord wanted us there, He would provide for us. And so we just kept training as if we had the money to cover everything, and we were able to pay every bill on time. And many of you guys helped us too, and we know that, and we appreciate all of you. Others helped us. But here's the thing. We never told anyone about our needs, except for the Lord in prayer. I did tell Dave some things in confidence, you know, being my spiritual leader and all. But he was sworn to secrecy. And he was also in complete agreement with our decision and even encouraged us in it. But, you know, try selling that to the televangelists. who stand on TV and beg for money every day. The decision was simple, though. The Lord is sovereign over all wealth. The Lord knows our needs intimately, and the Lord answers prayers and cares for his children. And so who else needed to know? Moreover, the lessons of faith learned by such an experience would far outweigh the expense of the trial. And the Lord grew our faith by leaps and bounds throughout that year. I remember Rachel and I were on the hour and a half drive back from Walmart to the cabin. And we had a heart-to-heart conversation, you know, because she brought up the fact that, well, we only have about $40 left, and we probably spent that in gas on the way home. And bills were coming up, and what are we going to do? And I thought about it for a little bit, and then I looked at her and I said, the hardest thing to believe is that there is a God who is omnipotent and omniscient, who created this massive, ridiculously huge universe that the collective intelligence of humankind can't even fathom, can't even begin to fathom it. He's also infinitely greater than that universe that he created. And yet he sent his son to die for us so that we could have a relationship with him, us, you know, these tiny, insignificant creatures that he made. I said, if you can settle that in your mind, then the question of how he's going to provide for us is completely simplistic and insignificant. Because if God is the God of the Bible, then we have only to trust in his promises. It wasn't 2 days after that that I received a letter from a brother that I hadn't seen or talked to in nearly a year. And enclosed was a note. And it said something like, the Lord laid you on our hearts. Don't even think about refusing this, since you know it's the Lord's money anyway. You know, something real jerky like that. And enclosed was a check for $500. And things happened like that all year long, just constantly, without us ever asking anyone for anything. And it wasn't just monetary either. We had problems with our Jeep all year quitting. It would just quit while we were driving down the road constantly. And we couldn't figure it out. And twice toward the end of training, we took long-distance trips out of necessity where we were driving for many hours and many miles, hundreds of miles during the day. And both times, the Jeep died for good, meaning it didn't start back up for weeks. But only after we'd made it all the way to the top of the mountain through miles of rocky roads and potholy roads, uphill, all the way to the mechanic shop. Both times it died right there at the shop, which is where it needed to die. You know, it seemed like it was just random. It would just die there. Now, some might look at that and say, well, how was that merciful of God to kill your only means of transportation? Little did we know at the time, but there was a sensor wire hanging on top of the drive shaft. So it was just eating the sensor wire up, and it was causing the computer to short out. It was completely shredded. It's only by the grace of God that we made it anywhere, much less everywhere we needed to go, and also back to the shop. It was the Lord who kept it from dying until we made it home. And that's not coincidence. That's mercy. A couple of days after our Jeep died the final time, and he didn't know anything about our finances, my dad called me up out of the blue. Now, the reason he could call me, we can't receive phone calls on the mountain because you don't get any signal there. The reason he could call me is because we were on our final field trip of the year. So I received the call, and he was calling me to tell me that he was getting a new car and asked me if I might want his old car, that 2001 Escape that's parked out front right now. Now, I didn't ask him to do that. I didn't say I needed a car. He knew nothing of our finances. The Lord told him that. And because of the sovereignty of my God and the generosity of my dad, we have a vehicle that works exactly when we're in the greatest need of it. I want to read you another excerpt from my journal. This is from when we got back from the mission and settled in our house over there. And to preface this one, we're perusing thrift stores and finding items to sell on eBay. Also, while doing side work and looking for jobs, PayPal is the money handler for eBay. And there's a delay between the time when we actually get paid by the buyer and it goes into our PayPal account to when it actually transfers to our bank account, a several-day period. And I'm going to start out. This is an excerpt from the final 2 weeks of a difficult month. 16th. For the past several months, we've been stretched thinner than ever before, but the Lord has provided everything in due time. To this day, we have been able to pay all of our bills on time, and we've had as much food as is necessary. The Lord has been most gracious in every respect, but our funds have been gradually depleted. The Lord is stretching us thin, it seems, that it might be shown to us that He is our sole provider. We have $207 in our bank accounts and only 2 weeks left in the month. The Lord laid a family on my heart today, and also the amount of $50. In a way, it seems foolish. Indeed, every bit of fleshly wisdom I have says that I should never have done so. However, their needs far supersede our own needs at this time. And I know that it is the Lord's money anyway. Not only that, but if I proclaim with my mouth that I believe in the faithfulness and the sovereignty of the Lord, and yet my actions say otherwise, I am the double-minded man of James 1. Today I receive payment for work in the amount of $73. I wait upon and seek the Lord to see how He will provide for us. The 18th. It seems that Satan's desire is to sift us like wheat. Praise be to God, though, that we have an advocate who is infinitely greater. A little while ago, we had our cell phone stolen. Now, today, our GPS was stolen out of our car. It's not a great monetary loss since it was so cheap even 2 years ago. Still, it was a great discouragement since we do not have the means to replace it, and it was a wonderful aid to us finding the nearly 24 thrift stores we frequent. Two of our auctions that we were expecting to sell for $35 or more only brought $2. For the last few months, it has seemed that the Lord is against us. I am at times even tempted to doubt the Lord's remembering of us or care for us. I know, though, from His word, that He is much greater and better Father than any earthly father. And if even our evil selves know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will my Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? So I continue to seek Him in prayer. May He continue to have mercy upon me. 19th. Today the Lord allowed me to put in a full day's work. We had a PayPal transfer of $130 yesterday. After buying groceries and postage, we have a total of $184. Our rent is $850 and is due in 11 days. The 20th. I read today in James 5, 17 through 18, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. The Lord has chosen and purposed to work through prayer, fervent prayer. So in prayer, I continue. The 21st, the Lord has greatly encouraged us today. A book that I am selling was only up to $13, even though the auction was ending in a few hours and my reserve price was $40. Out of the blue, a man in Russia that was bidding on the auction wrote me an email and said that due to the circumstances, he couldn't wait until the end of the auction, even though it was only a few hours away. And so he clicked the buy it now for $75 for a book worth only $40. This is a great comfort to me that the Lord has not forgotten us and that He has heard my prayers. The extra amount he paid was $35, which was the amount we expected to get on the other two auctions a few days ago that sold only for $1 each. I can think of no reasonable explanation for the man to do that, especially when he will have paid nearly $110 after shipping. Oh God, You are sovereign over the hearts of men, and Your grace extends even to the lowest of Your servants. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? O God, you are our only source of hope. Have mercy on us and remember us. An update to that same day. Shortly after writing, the mail came. A dear brother and sister in Christ that we had not seen since we were in training sent us 4 t-shirts, 1 for each of us, and a check for $25. They know nothing of our needs since we have told no one. Thank you, Father, for your tender mercies. 23rd. After postage and a few groceries and gas, we were left with $166. However, we also found and purchased a $16 item today by the mercy of God that we believe may sell for many times more than what we bought it for. The auction ends on the 28th, so we will see what the Lord does with it. We are in your hands, O God. Do with us as you see fit. We glory in nothing but our belonging to you. 26th. We continue to have our daily needs met, but the amount we need for rent seems almost insurmountable. Also, my last remaining debt, a student loan, has a payment draft coming out in a couple of days for $78. We have related our needs to no one, as has been our practice, and God has never failed as our provider. Though never has the need been so great and the remaining time so little. Oh, Father, how much we would rather be rich in faith than rich in earthly possessions. We greatly desire to see your glory and your power displayed, much more so than to have unlimited worldly funds. Is not heavenly security of greater value and much safer than earthly security? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Later that day, we deposited $99 in checks and had $293 deposited from eBay auctions. After a few groceries and another potentially valuable item to sell on eBay and some gas, we were left with $506. The draft from my student, this is the 28th, the draft from my student loan came out today, but we have also had a PayPal transfer of $70. Rachel took all of our change to a Coinstar and had enough to buy diapers and deposit $25. Total, we have $521. The auction for the item the Lord gave us is ending tonight. The 29th, the next day. Last night, the item sold for $228, but the person has not paid for it. That means the auction is useless to our current situation. Nevertheless, I am looking to the Lord. I received a paycheck today for $199. We are so close, but even a dollar short would make our check bounce. Since the first is on a Sunday, and we have until the second to pay, we are mailing the check tomorrow and trusting that the Lord will provide for us. The 30th, another buyer contacted me wanting to buy the item and offered more money for it. He paid $8 more and actually sent the payment. The PayPal transfer will take a few days to complete, and weekends don't count, so I prayed that they will not deposit the rent checks right away. I have never been so perplexed about a financial situation. Why has the Lord brought us so close only to abandon us at the very end? Father, please help us. Please. But even if you don't, and you leave us to ourselves, how undeserving we are of the help already received. My trust is in your infinite wisdom, dear God. You breathe the words in Romans 8:28, and so whatever the outcome, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt it is for our good, and more importantly, for your glory. I recall the words in Daniel 3, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if not, let it be known to you that we are not going to serve your gods. What a statement, O Lord. If you are so able to save me from the blazing fire of hell, how simple and trivial a thing it is to save us from our current situation. But even if not, I refuse to turn my trust and worship from the only one who deserves it and infinitely more. All praise and adoration to Yahweh, the I Am, the Almighty God. This is the second. praise the Lord. The transfer went through faster than is even possible. In truth, I do not understand how it happened. It normally takes 3 to 4 business days to complete the transfer, but it took 0 business days and went in over a Sunday night before they even received our rent check in the mail. Not only has this crisis been averted, but I have work every day this week. I sold another $40 on eBay, and the second mentioned item, the one purchased during the crisis, is now up to $305. I also found out that someone paid us $50 for my helping with something I wasn't charging for. The Lord has brought us low and is now, it seems, building us back up for a time. Truly, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, and His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. These are just a few examples. I know that was long, but I could tell you of hundreds more if I could only remember them all. And they were all because of the mercy of God. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell anybody to not tell anyone your needs. I'm just not going to do that. I don't want you to miss the greater lesson, which is that you can rely on God to do that which He promised and to take care of His children. I can tell you with certainty that if you are a child of God, He will do for you what He has promised. But as a great man of God once said, unless you cut yourself off from the arm of the flesh, you'll never see God work. If you are in a crisis, there's no need to seek security or solace in the flesh. Now, you understand what I mean by that. You still need to avail yourself of every means at your disposal, but not at the expense of righteousness and not at the expense of trusting the Lord's goodness and love and care for you. Pray to the God who works all things after the counsel of His will, and understand that any trial placed before you is for your sanctification and for His glory. And I know that's easier said than done. I know. But how rewarding it is on the other side to be brought closer to Him and be more like Him. That's the whole purpose of sanctification, is to conform you to the image of His Son. If you're going through a trial, remove all hope in the flesh from your mind and cast all your hope on the promises of the Lord. To close, I want us to go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Almost everybody in here knows verse 9. It's one of those go-to verses. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the verses preceding that are not often read. And they're a comparison of the man who trusts in the flesh and the man who trusts in the Lord. And so I want to read verses 5 through 8 of Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Now, from those verses, we can gather a few things. First, if we make flesh our strength, we're destined to fail. Only disappointment can come from putting your trust in anything but the Lord. But look at verse 8. This is the man whose trust is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. What happens to a tree planted by a stream when a drought comes? I mean, what drought? Its roots are always moist, and it will continue to bear fruit as long as it lives, regardless of drought. So we, when we are planted by the stream of the Lord, will never wither. we will never cease to bear the everlasting fruit of righteousness, but will always be a beacon to those who are constantly wavering and wandering in this life. And so put your trust in the Lord, who is more faithful than anyone you've ever known, and you will never be put to shame. Let's pray. Oh God, we are so grateful, Lord, for your blessings. You're so good to all of your creatures, Lord. And your tender mercies are so sweet. Your loving kindness is never ending. Oh God, we love you. We just pray that you would be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, sir. All right, well, if there isn't anything, then you guys are dismissed. Thank you.